Proverbs, the third chapter, we have a statement of trust. Trust in God. If you read the bulletin today, you'll notice that at the bottom of the first page, that there's a section that says, "Wisdom bestows well-being." And there's a quote there. I'd like to read the first 16 verses of Proverbs 3. I'd like you to think about, do you believe this? Do you really believe this? "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace, they shall be added to you. Do not let mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them upon your neck. Write them upon the table of your heart, so you will find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Verse 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not into your own understanding. But in all ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Believe that. "He is not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance and with first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst with new wine." Verse 11, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be weary of his correction. For who the Lord loves, he correcteth, even as a father in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that finds wisdom, and the man who gets understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things that they can desire are not to be compared with her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor." A whole bunch of promises. Do you believe them? Do you believe him? Do you trust God? You know, life is short, but eternity isn't. And when problems come into our lives, maybe I'm unique, but sometimes we feel lost. Sometimes we get frustrated. Sometimes we're fearful, angry, resentful. The problem revolves around the question of what do we believe? What do we trust? And especially when we have problems, sickness, difficulties in the lives of those we love. I got the call yesterday telling me that Tim was back in the hospital and that the prognosis was not good and that I needed to decide what should be done and what shouldn't be done. I thought, oh no, not again. See, when that sort of thing happens, you're challenged as to whether you trust God or not. Do things really happen the way the writer in Proverbs described? There's quite a few things that can destroy our trust. And I'd like to talk about three of them today. This is a lesson that I need. I hope you need. find useful. I think there are people in this room right now that are facing challenges. In reality, we're all facing challenges. But one of the things that can destroy our trust, our confidence, our belief in God, is that we are threatened by faulty thinking and reasoning. Let me suggest a couple of things to you. For one thing, we seem to think somehow that everything in life should be fair. Have you ever cried out in frustration, "This isn't fair"? Wasn't too long ago when Larry and Elena were facing a whole pile of things that were bad that we even made that statement here, "This just doesn't seem fair." But life isn't always fair. Life can be unfair. You know, we look out there and we see good things happening to bad people. That's not unusual. In Psalm 73, beginning with verse 2, David said, "But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had nearly slipped, for I was envious and foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." It isn't fair. I don't have any money. And that guy over there with that boat in his front yard has lots of money. That's not fair. That ever cross your mind? I'm going to show my age here, but years ago, Peggy Lee, the very popular singer, had a song. And the title of the song was, "Is That All There Is?" And what she talks about in the song is going to the circus and how much she looked forward to going to the circus. It was all she wanted was to go to the circus. And so she went to the circus. And after she'd been to the circus, she said, "Is that all there is to a circus?" And she goes through a series of those types of things. And in reality, we've all faced that, haven't we? Ever buy something new that you really wanted? A new car, a new boat, new television set, whatever. And so you get it. And then what? Not as special as you thought, is it? The boat isn't as much fun as you thought it was going to be. The new car becomes an old car. Prosperity is a fleeting thing. But life can be unfair because bad things happen to good people, too. You know, it's not just that the people who are bad get stuff and people who are good don't. It's also that people who are good have bad things happen to them. Top of the list, cancer. Top of the list, depression, leukemia, infertility. Well, it's a pretty glist, isn't it? It's not fair. Not fair. I shouldn't have cancer. Not fair. I shouldn't have the death of the one I love. When Phyllis died, I yelled at God a lot. This isn't fair. Life can be unfair. The Bible's not ignorant about this. Remember Job? Job 1, verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright. Wow. One that feared God and eschewed evil. And you know what happened to Job. Was it fair that Jesus die on the cross? Is that fair? Jesus deserved to die on the cross? Well, that's ridiculous, isn't it? Life is not fair. But we're not thinking very far when we use that as an excuse to not trust God. If all I had to do was to get away from my problems or to get away from my sickness was to become a Christian, we'd have people flocking down an aisle every time they got an Excedrin headache. Christianity has never been an escape mechanism. And sometimes it takes losing something to get us to understand what's really important in life, what really counts. God wants people to serve Him out of love. He doesn't want us to serve Him because we think we can get something good out of it or that somehow we'll be exempt from the problems that life brings. I just finished reading an article in Scientific American. They're now saying that 75% of all cancer is now known to be caused by the use of pesticides, herbicides, and other man-made contaminants in the environment. Well, that's not a big help, is it? Jim Harris Savage passed away from cancer. Where did he get the cancer? Because he worked with chemicals for years. They're now known to be carcinogens. You say, well, why didn't God just zap that out of him? We're not thinking. We're not thinking. We can't expect God to undo the foolishness of man. And if this life was all there was, that would be a real problem. But this isn't all there is it? It's right to serve. My second point about why we get into trouble with trust in God is because we think there's no value in suffering and problems. You hear that little statement in Proverbs 3? Do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent His rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those who He loves as a father the son He delights in. In Psalms 119, and verse 71, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. I've known people that would have never become a Christian had they not had a problem. So for all eternity, they will be with God when otherwise they would have been lost. In the New Testament, James 1, beginning with verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you encounter various afflictions, knowing the trying of your faith works for patience. Boy, has my personality changed because of the problems that have been a part of my life. When I look back on what kind of person I was before I had problems, it wasn't very attractive. And what we need to understand is that suffering and problems in life open every life to purpose. You know, if you don't have purpose in your life, you don't have anything. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1, beginning with verse 3. I want to emphasize part of this. Blessed be God, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation. Okay, that's fine. Now listen to this. That we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. Let me read that again. that we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble. Comfort those who are in any trouble by the comfort we ourselves get from God. Most of you know about my daughter, Wendy, whose husband passed away a year ago, March. One of the questions that comes up in a situation like that is, will I ever find anybody else I can love? You also may be aware that Wendy has an autistic child. She was at a meeting for autistic parents and met a man who had an autistic child. His wife had left him with the autistic child. He was desperate. That we may be able to comfort those who are in trouble by the comfort we ourselves get from God. Wendy was able to share with him where she found the strength to deal with having a baby that had significant problems. And I was told that on Facebook, they are now an item, which in my very poor knowledge means that they are finding some things they like about each other. As a matter of fact, as some of you also may know, when she had 75 rats invade her house a month ago, he was right there helping her bag them up and get them out. All 90 bags of rats. John 14 and verse 1 says, Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. And he goes on in verse 26 and says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom God will send in my name, he will teach you all things. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, cast all your care on him, for he careth for you. Those of us that talked to Jim Harris Savage in the last days of his life will recall how much he casted his struggle, his pain, upon God. Because he knows God cares for him, and God cares for you, no matter what your problem is, no matter whether you've been a good guy or a bad guy, if you're a child of God, he cares for you. And here's a trust passage for you, one that I have relied upon heavily. Let me tell you, it works. This is Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Let me ask you something. What is your purpose in being alive? Why are you here? You know, one of the things that atheists can't do is give a reasonable answer as to why they exist. Why is the suicide rate in America today the highest it has been in our entire history, especially among young adults? And it's not just a little bit higher. It's triple what it was 25 years ago. See, when you throw God out, you have no purpose in life. You have no reason to exist. And when things don't work out the best way, it's hard to give a reason to keep living. But God gives a promise. Do you trust God? Do you believe this? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. Every problem I have had in my life has turned out to open a door to something that makes my life worthwhile.
See, I can talk to somebody who's lost their wife about what it's like to lose your wife. I've been there. I can talk to someone who's had a baby born with multiple birth defects. I've been there. I can talk to somebody who has a rebellious teenage kid. I've been there. I don't like it. But I have a promise from God, and I have learned to trust God that even when something bad happens, God will make something good come out of it. Now, that doesn't mean God caused it. Glenn Langston, who has been here quite a bit, we support him some. He's blind. He didn't ask to be blind. But he's blind. And because he is blind, he has had doors open to him. I could spend hours telling you what has happened in Glenn's life that are hard to believe because of his blindness. God didn't cause it, but God will make good come out of it. See, problems in life, difficulties in life, illness in life will either make you or break you. It's up to you to decide which one you're going to let happen. And understand that death is not the worst thing that can happen. I always try to keep in mind Revelation 21, verse 4, God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there will be no more death, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things were all passed away. Oh my, am I ready for that? Can you imagine a life with no arthritis? Can you imagine a life where you don't have to worry about cancer? An existence where nobody will break your heart again? God will wipe away all tears from their eyes. And my third point is we make a mistake when we think that everything has to have an answer. Let me tell you something I've learned in 53 years of ministry, that lots of people don't want to hear an explanation of why they're having a problem. They don't want a theological answer. They don't want a philosophical answer. They want to get free of their pain. They want a solution that involves not having to face the problem anymore. So sometimes the best answer is to say, I don't know all the answers, because I don't. But I want you to know something. I care. I care. I care. I care that Bill is fighting eye problems. I care that Larry's looking at more chemo. I care that Tracy is dealing with challenges to her kidney. I care that Willard has got to go through a surgical procedure. I care that Richard is struggling with his family situation with Melba. I care. I don't have an answer for all that. I mean, I know those other things are there, and I trust God to make it work. In every one of those cases. Deuteronomy 29:29 says, the secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things that are revealed belong to us and our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. You know, I've studied the book of Job extensively. And I used it in a lot of sermons. And some people that they ask you, what's the book of Job about? And they say, oh, well, that's about human suffering. No, it's not. No, it's not. God never gives Job an explanation. The book of Job is about God. About God. Not about suffering. So at the end of all that discussion, chapter 40, verse 4, Job says, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I shall lay my hand upon my mouth." Job says, "Yeah, there's some stuff I just can't answer. There's some things I just don't understand. Why? Because I'm a human being, and I'm living in a physical world on an earth that is screwed up." He goes on in chapter 42 and verse 5 and says, "I had heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth you." And what he's saying is, now I understand that life is not something that is always fair. It is not something that is free of suffering. But it is something that leads us to something a whole lot better. So where should we get? We should get to be like Habakkuk. Listen to Habakkuk 3, verse 17 and 18, 19. "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither the fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, the fields need no fruit, the flocks are cut off from the fold, there will be no herd in the stalls." "If it all collapses, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will have the joy of God in my salvation. The Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like goat's feet." You ever been around a goat? You see those pictures from Germany with the flooding? Every house has goats standing on the roof. How'd they get up there? Goats can climb anywhere. There's no obstacle that a goat can't overcome. In the Rocky Mountains, I've seen them go up a sheer cliff. "He will make my feet like goat's feet, and he will make me walk upon my high places." That's where we need to get. And that happens when you can trust God. So you trust God when he says in Acts 2 and verse 38, "Be baptized for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Do you believe that? Do you trust that? That God will build within you the capacity to do stuff you never thought you could do? Do you trust him? Will you let him work? Or will you doubt him and not do what he has given you the capacity to do? Do you trust Matthew 11, verse 28? "Come all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Does it get better? Do you trust God? 1 Corinthians 10, verse 28. "There is no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man." Folks, in reality, every problem that is with us right now, other people are facing. Whether it's macular degeneration, or whether it is cancer, or whether it is heart problems, or mother-in-laws, you name it. There are people, there are Christians that have dealt with this. There is no temptation taking you, but this is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to endure. Doesn't say he'll take it away. He just says, "But will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Believe that? In 1 John 1 and verse 7, John closes his book in this discussion this morning by saying, "Trust God, and he will continually purify you. The blood of Christ will cleanse us from all sin." Believe that? Do you trust God? That's the big hope you have. You say, oh, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. Neither does God. Where's your heart? Do you trust God? You say, well, I just don't think God can do that. Oh, well, then you don't trust God to do what he says he will do, right? Trust God. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin. But we have to trust. Trust and obey. That's the song that we're closing with this morning. And we hope that as we sing that, if you want our prayers for you, if there's some other way we can help you, we hope you'll come to the front and express that, or if you're on Zoom, that you'll contact us. Trust the Lord. Let's stand to sing together. Trust and obey.